Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
So, Sabrina Carpenter's new album cover has sparked quite a lot of controversy. It's called Man's Best Friend to mark the release of her new single, Manchild, just last week. It's not the song, it's not Manchild that's caused the controversy, though. It's the image of what appears to be the album cover. And if you haven't seen it, I have a photograph up of it on my own Instagram account. It's an Andrea Gilligan one. You can get it on Spotify too. But the photograph basically shows Sabrina Carpenter kneeling on the ground in what some people say is a dog-like pose. She's on her hands and knees. And then you see to the left an unidentified person, looks like a man, standing off to the side, and he's pulling her effectively by the hair, and she's in a dress and she's in high heels in the picture. And the criticism is so much so that one of the leading domestic violence charities in the UK has accused Sabrina Carpenter of reducing women to pets. And the question we're asking you today is whether or not it's fair to expect pop stars to be role models. It's 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Ruth Breslin's with me. Ruth's the director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute. Just first of all, Ruth, is the criticism fair?
I actually don't think it's fair to place all the blame for the misogyny and the persistent objectification and sexualization of young women in our culture solely at the door of this young 26-year-old woman. I mean, this is a woman that's grown up on the internet. I think she was first put on YouTube singing at the age of 10. I don't think we can place all the blame on her. I think we have to look at what inspires this kind of imagery and where the demand comes from. And you know what really struck me with that image is how pornified it is. And this very much links to the work that we've been doing in Ireland on pornography and kind of exploring the content of pornography. And what we see is over the years, as pornography develops, it becomes more and more violent. In fact, the research suggests that 9 in 10 scenes in pornography contain violence, and in almost all cases, that's directed towards women. And one of those forms of violence that very much features in pornography is hair pulling, along with spanking and slapping women, choking and strangling them, etc., etc. So the first thing I thought of when I saw that image was mainstream pornography. And Sabrina presumably has a whole team of people around her who have suggested that this is the best way to pose sex sells, and you should be, you know, putting that imagery of yourself out there. So I suppose I'd be more questioning where the demand for this kind of imagery comes from. I do think it's very porn inspired. And the fact that we live in this culture that's, you know, really objectifying and sexualizing women in this way, but also this hint of violence, I think that element is really problematic.
It's interesting, though, because, I mean, look, everybody has their own taste in music. I actually am sort of a late convert to Sabrina Carpenter's music over the last couple of months. But I would have thought that particularly the majority of her audience, I would have assumed, Ruth, was very much that kind of mid to late teenager and female, yes, young women.
Yes, it is. And this is the problem. So again, in the creating of the imagery and all of the people who must have been around here that were involved in creating that kind of imagery, what does this tell young girls? I know what it tells young girls. It tells young girls that your body is your currency, that you were required every day, 24 hours a day, to present yourself in this incredibly sexualized way for the pleasure and the benefit of men. I mean, obviously in doing this, Sabrina is communicating that directly to her fans, but also for me, this hint of violence, this hint of aggression in it. She's in an extremely submissive pose, as some of the critics have been saying, and that kind of submission and dominance by this fully clothed, suited man is what it looks like. That's again derived from pornography, but increasingly is coming into our own young people and adult sexual lives and behaviours, that the men must be dominant, the women must be submissive. And it's really unfortunate, but I do think Sabrina's young fans will pick up on this.
She's allowed to grow up, though. You know, she's now in her mid-20s. She's allowed to express herself and her her own sexuality.
Absolutely. And I think that that's like, I suppose this is the catch-22. We want women to feel really comfortable in their bodies. We want them to be able to be themselves and express their sexuality. But I'm not sure if she had been given a blank sheet and a choice, you know, a full choice in this. Would she have really chosen this position? Would she have really chosen this imagery? I think she has a team around her who's telling her, this is what's sexy and this is what sells. So, yeah, you know, I just feel like we can't blame this one 26-year-old for this pornified culture that she's clearly grown up in and been influenced by herself. And she probably doesn't have time to sit down and critically analyse this in the way that we do.
It's all over social media, isn't it? I mean, my own Instagram and TikTok in the last day or two, you know, is articles, people talking and posting about this particular image of the album cover. If you haven't seen it, as I said, it's of her new release, Man's Best Friend. Stay with me, Ruth. A couple of other callers. 1800-453-106 is the number. Nadia Adan is the owner of Ashford Motors. Do you think the criticism is fair, Nadia?
Andrea, I think it's a double-edged sword. I think, firstly, she's a grown woman at the end of the day, and she made the decision to let that image go out. And I think we're living in a world now that if a man had done the same thing, would he have gotten as much backlash? David Beckham did an ad for Boss where he completely strips naked.
That's right.
And the media around that was fans go wild, women love him. Like, literally, women are going mad. So, you know, what is the double standard here? You know, men for years picked women for their album covers and made them do stuff. And now we're living life where women can make those decisions themselves. And the true feminism for me is that the word control, that we have control to put what we want out there. And it's your perception of it then, of what people, so if people think that that's what that is, and that's, you know, on them. So I do understand that, you know, she's a role model, and I get the concern that people want to protect younger girls, but shielding them from a woman being confident in her body, there's this feeling that sex sells, she's selling herself for sex, but actually we get put with that. We are selling ourselves to be confident in our own body, and that's what, that is the message I think that younger women should hear, that, you know, you can be good looking, you can be have your femininity, but you can also have a brain, you can be clever, and you can use that how you want, you know, and it's all about having that freedom to do it.
Well, it's a fair point, because let's be honest, I mean, the single that came out of Manchild, the release of Manchild last week, and the album, sure, it'll probably sit at number one for God knows how many weeks. It'll be a huge success.
Yeah, and the other side of it is publicity. Like, she obviously did it because to create this controversy, and it's Andre, it's kind of what I do with some of my videos. Like, when I started posting on social media, and I've grown my business in a male-dominated industry, I got dog's abuse for what I was wearing. Absolute dog's abuse. And it did upset me in the beginning, and I questioned myself. But I just kept going, and I was true to myself and who I was. And because my following is 80% men, I'm showing men that we women, we can run a good business, we can dress how we want, we can be a little bit glamorous. We're not bringing women back, but actually we're opening up the doors to bring women forward.
Mary McCarthy's with us too, Nadia. Is one of your girls in your house, Mary's a big Sabrina Carpenter fan, is that right?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yes, yeah, she is. And you know, Sabrina Carpenter really, she kind of disturbs me a little bit. And I mean, I agree with Ruth in that, you know, we've got a dysfunctional kind of society where your body is your currency. I also agree with Nadia there that there's a double standard thing going on. But I would actually blame Sabrina a little bit, because it's the way she's marketed, and she knows that she's selling, right? She also knows her fan base. I mean, she accompanies Taylor Swift for a bunch of her tours, and Taylor Swift, you know, she's very young girls are going to her concerts. So Sabrina knows, and not to blame her, because it's not her fault that we live in this kind of society where you want to show that you're wearing nothing and your looks are your currency, as Ruth very well put it. But, and you know what, the difference now with when I was younger was, like, Madonna was going around, I don't know if you remember, but do you remember she was wearing those bras with the cones? And, like, a lot of her videos were... Yeah,
the Sandra, nearly kind of bondage look. There was the nearly like the
bondage look.
Yeah, the leather
and the erotica. Do you remember erotic? I mean, I won't sing it, but that video was very suggestive. But the difference then, right? And I can remember doing like a dance routine to Like a Virgin when I was 8, right? Because I came out in 1984, and then Salt and Pepper, Push It, with my two sisters. We'd had no idea what it meant.
I know.
The difference back then was we were very, very, very removed from Madonna. We didn't have her on our phones. We've such a dysfunctional society now where you've got young girls of 10 and 11, and they're watching these videos, they're seeing the lyrics, they... Even if they don't really know what Sabrina's talking about, they see her kneeling on the ground, half naked, and a guy standing there in a suit. What message is that sending them? My daughter now is 14, and I'm still... She wanted to go to Sabrina concert when she was 12, and I was like, are you mad? Like, all the amount of innuendo in that song, Espresso. And you'd have, like, you know, a car full of, like, 11 or 12-year-old girls. It's not just Sabrina Carpenter. It's Nicki Minaj. Some Billie Eilish songs are a little bit kind of...
Yeah, but so too
well.
Jason like, Derulo in more recent years. I mean, when I think back to kind of my year of this, and the male version was probably Peter Andre, Mary, for me. I mean, Peter Andre... There was no
Absolutely.
Album cover of Peter Andre with ever a top on.
Oh, he had a shirt open. Do you remember all the buttons
topless.
Off and the and yeah, topless. And so there, Nadia is right. There is a double standard. So in some way, I don't really want to blame because you don't want to blame the woman. But at the same time, she knows how she's being marketed. She's marketed as there's an objectification going on. And you know, unfortunately, if her fans were her age, it wouldn't really. I mean, it's not such a huge problem, but
well,
they're not.
Well, that's the
you
next
know,
question.
Not, they're 11.
And that's the next question, I suppose. And it's not just that she's teenage fans. She's a lot of fans in their, you know, 20s and 30s. And some of my own mates were at her recent gig there at the Three Arena in Dublin too. Journalist Brenda Power is with us as well, Mary. Is it fair to expect pop stars to be role models, Brenda? Like, are we expecting too much of them?
I wouldn't have thought that this one was any kind of a role model, Andrea, but I mean, I'm kind of amused there at the rush to absolve her from any responsibility for this as fairly offensive album cover, because it does seem to be glorifying female subjection and male violence. She's clearly a very savvy young woman who knows exactly what she's doing. I have no doubt that she 100% believes that this is the right thing to do. For what reason, though, does she feel that this is an appropriate image to put across? I mean, we've seen the pornification of art and culture now become quite mainstream, really, in recent times. If you look at movies like Anora, which I absolutely hated, or even Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman, they all showed women in very submissive roles, being used as sex objects. So, I mean, she's not doing anything particularly novel. She's not as someone said, they're not doing anything that Madonna didn't do 30-odd years ago. Mm. I kind of feel we're playing to her hands a little bit by even discussing it, because that clearly is the purpose. But, I mean, she may think that this is her being brave and owning her sexuality or whatever. She's clearly been influenced by porn. Clearly is. And, I mean, you'd have to ask
yourself...
Well,
she, or I suppose, the marketing or the handling or the management. I'm assuming she's a lot of advisors around designing
She's a lot of advisors, but I very much doubt now that she got down on her hands and knees and had someone pulling around by the hair if she didn't agree to it or wasn't convinced or believe herself that this is what her audience will buy. And also, of course, that it'll get a publicity, which is exactly what we're doing by giving her this. To be honest, I mean, this is the woman who has made a career of singing about how badly men treat her, including our own Barry Keoghan, and yet here she is apparently enjoying it. So, I mean, it's a bit of a mixed message. I don't think she's any kind of a feminist role model, to be honest. I completely agree that you get young ones singing along to these songs and not having a clue what they're talking about. So I suppose, you know, it's of limited, I suppose, impact, really. But it is so clearly and so cynically designed to get this kind of reaction that I'd be inclined to say, ignore it.
Ignore it. I want to bring you some of the text on this, right? Sabrina Carpenter is a huge pre-teen audience. She's using controversial sexual imagery to cynically boost sales, in my opinion. She needs to explain what message she's trying to put across. Chris has got in touch to say, why are you beating up on this young lady? Also, she knows sex sells. Madonna was doing this 40 years ago. Society has decided what sells. Please don't tell me there's some intellectual value to Love Island. It's all about sex, says Chris. You know, just to, I suppose, perhaps that point, Ruth, you're still with us on the line today as well. Do we have different standards for male and female artists?
Yeah, of course we do. Completely different. You know, it does come back to the fact that sex sells. And I suppose this is where Sabrina's coming from. She's grown up in a culture where she's been sold the lie that to be highly sexualized and to be highly objectified is somehow empowering. And at the end of the day, if you're on your knees with your hair being pulled by a man in a suit, how can that be understood as empowering? But we just, you know, I suppose the world of pornography, the world of the sex trade influences our popular culture. She's a big, you know, star in terms of popular culture. And I think she has probably just drunk the Kool-Aid. She's wholly subsumed that. She hasn't had a chance to see any other way of being a woman. And also it reflects on the fact that, like, so many of her young fans don't look like her. You know what I mean? They're different body sizes. They have different skin colours. They don't have this long blonde hair. And yet, I suppose there is that message coming out from what's been portrayed. And again, I'm talking about the team around her, and I'm talking about the culture that promotes this. That message of you have to be thin, blonde and pretty to be powerful. But at the same time, please don't displease men. Please be very submissive to men. And that's an extremely problematic message, isn't it, for young women and young boys as well.
The difference here, though, Nadia, maybe to previous conversations, is that it's the criticism that Sabrina Carpenter has faced, it's not about what she's wearing. It is very much the idea, and whether she's standing or on her hands and knees, all fours, as she is in this picture, it's the fact, I suppose, that you can kind of see that her hair is being pulled by effectively what looks like a man that's unidentified. That's the bit people have the issue with.
Yeah, no, and I see that as well. I do see that. And obviously that's something I wouldn't be doing myself, getting pulled around by the hair. But, you know, I've seen other album covers in the past be a lot more dramatic than that, with men doing certain things. And we celebrate men for being edgy, you know, for being bold, or, you know, even kind of taking things one step further. But again, I just think it's that double standards that when a woman does it, we just get so criticised even more. And then the other side of it is the publicity that we're all here talking about it. You know, she wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't this world reaction.
We've been talking about her for the past nearly, I'd say, 17 or 18 minutes. Peter Andre might have been topless, Andrea, says this texter, but Sabrina is showing images of abuse with no context, leaving her young fans to wonder if this is something to aspire to. And I do want to just bear with me for a moment, because I want to read this message from Rory today. And he's got in touch and he says, I want to share a perspective on a topic that might be a little bit sensitive for some. Some women have a preference for being submissive and enjoy being told what to do as part of their personal kink. It's important to recognise that everybody has their own preferences, and what works for one person mightn't work for another. So suggesting that these preferences are inherently wrong can have unintended effects, especially on younger people who are still forming their own views. So in my own experience, I dated a woman who had this very particular kink. We explored it together. It was a beautiful and consensual part of our relationship. And that comes in from Rory. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's journalist Brenda Power, Mary McCarthy, Nadia Adan from Ashford Motors, and Ruth Breslin, who is the director at the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.